This evening we're looking at Psalm 71, and this is a very encouraging psalm to me when you consider that it is thought to have been written by someone in their older age, and it's encouraging to read about a man who is wanting to be faithful to God. He's wanting to remain active. And so I hope that this lesson this evening will be very encouraging to us. As we grow older, we need to be growing more faithful to God. If you think about, you know, the alternative to this, a lot of people, when they get older, they quit the Lord. Some of them get bitter and hard to get along with, and some of them become unfaithful and just quit altogether. And this is really an encouraging psalm to let us know that we don't have to be like that. We can continue to trust in God. We can continue to tell other people about God's word, tell the next generation. Let's not quit. Let's not give up. Let's not become, you know, bitter and cynical and just, you know, a trouble. If you think about it, what the church needs are older brethren who are faithful and helpful and encouraging and things like that. The church doesn't need older people who are burnt out on serving the Lord. And so this is a great psalm, and hopefully it'll be encouraging to us. It's the prayer of an old man for deliverance from his problems. But in the midst of this, there are several statements. He's going to continue to take God as his refuge, verse 1. Verse 8, God is his strong refuge. Verse 15, he's going to tell others of God's righteousness. Verse 22, he's going to praise God. So this is not the picture of someone who has just become burnt out and disgruntled and problematic and all of that. It's someone who is very faithful in their old age. So that is very encouraging. The other thing that we can take away from this is that if you look at verse 5 and 6, one of the best ways to ensure that we're going to be faithful when we're older is that we begin as early as possible in our youth and don't wait till later in life. Now, it may be that people are converted later in life and they make changes, but if possible, let us raise our children to trust in God from their youth. And it's more likely that in their old age they'll remain faithful to God. Let's read Psalm 71 together. In thee, O Jehovah, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness and rescue me. Bow down thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation whereinto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord Jehovah. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many. But thou art my strong refuge. My mouth shall be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For my enemies speak concerning me, and they that watch for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise thee yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will come with the mighty acts of the Lord Jehovah. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Yea, even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have declared thy strength unto the next generation, thy might to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou who hast showed us many and sore troubles will quicken us again and will bring us up again from the depths of the earth. Increase thou my greatness and turn again and comfort me. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing praises with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall shout for joy when I sing praises unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are put to shame, for they are confounded that seek my hurt. So a prayer of an older man for deliverance. If we didn't have some of these verses, like verse 9 and verse 18, this would sound very similar to many of the previous psalms that we've studied, where the psalmist is in need and is being persecuted by enemies. But this is a special one in that the author is older, old and gray-headed. The psalmist is old and he is suffering at the hand of his enemies. There are those, verse 13, verse 24, who are seeking his hurt. God has watched over him from his birth, and he has trusted God in his youth, and now he believes God will deliver him in his old age. This psalm has been described as the psalm at sunset because it was written by one who still trusted in God at the end of his life. And so when the sun is setting on our life, what is our relationship with God? Are we still serving God? Are we still worshiping God, reading his word, trusting in him, and so forth? Something to think about. It's not good enough just to trust God in our youth. We have to carry it all the way through our life. We can't look back in the judgment day and say, well, just judge me on my youth. It's got to be all the way to the end. And that's something that's very important to remember. The psalmist opens with a number of petitions in verses 1 through 4. He takes refuge in the Lord and wants the Lord to deliver him, to be his rock and rescue him. The psalmist has trusted in the Lord from his youth, and the Lord has upheld him from his birth. And that's something to think about, because if God upholds us from our birth, why can't we in turn serve him faithfully until the day of our death? God doesn't give up on us. We don't need to give up on him. Notice at the end of each of these sections, the psalmist promises to praise the Lord. In verses 1 through 6, he has several requests for help. And then he closes in verse 6 with, my praise shall be continually of thee. And then if you look at verses 7 through 14, that's where he mentions his enemies and those who are pursuing him. But look at verse 14. I will praise thee yet more and more. He always closes with praise. And then look at verses 15 through 24. He promises to proclaim the Lord's righteousness and mighty works. And then he closes with, I will praise thee. You know, verse 22, 23, 24, so forth. So he always closes with praise. And that's an interesting feature about this psalm. So in verses 1 through 4, various prayers and requests for help. Verses 7 through 14, the different problems that he's having in his old age. And then verses 15 through 24, the proclamations. He promises to proclaim and tell others of God's righteousness. The other thing that is interesting about this is not someone who's being persecuted as a youth. He's being persecuted as an old man, and that would be especially challenging. You've got health issues, and other things going on. And then on top of that, you have people who are seeking your hurt. So it'd be especially challenging to serve God when you're being persecuted in your old age. But yet he remained faithful. Okay? Verses 7 through 14, the different problems that he has. He's an astonishment to those around him, but he will still praise the Lord. He does not want the Lord to cast him off. Verse 9, when his enemies speak evil of him and his God. And notice that the tactic that they use, verse 11, God's going to forsake him. And that would, that's the kind of persecution that affects our mind, where we begin to doubt whether or not God's going to help us. So his God's not going to help him. And that's the particular attack that they used. They're seeking his hurt, and he closes again with praise. And then verses 15 through the end of the chapter, the psalmist promises to tell others of God's righteousness. He's going to proclaim God's righteousness and God's works. So verses 1 through 6, prayers. Verses 7 through 14, problems. And then verses 15 through 24, the proclamations. He's going to proclaim to others God's righteousness. He will tell those around him, and he will tell future generations. He believes that God's righteousness is great, and that God will save him and comfort him. And once again, the psalmist promises to praise the Lord. So it's a great, encouraging psalm. As we get older, we need to be thinking about modeling this type of behavior. Eric, we'll start with you tonight under the questions. What requests or petitions does the psalmist have for the Lord? Okay, so there's a prayer here that has several requests, and it's that God help him, you know, during these enemies and these adversaries. The wording is very similar to Psalm 31, 1 through 3, which is attributed to David. That may have been David earlier in life, and here David later in life, possibly. But the wording is similar, or this man, if it's not David, may have borrowed that from David. But the wording is similar there. God is a rock. This is very common in the Psalms and other places where he's a protection. He's a refuge. Okay, Mike, what has the psalmist done with the Lord from his youth? Right, and this is what we need to try to instill, not just in our young people, but if we can help other young people, help them to trust and have confidence in God from their youth. How does that happen? Through God's Word, exposure to God's Word, worship services, being around godly Christians. We've got to teach them from youth. So parents need to do that. Bible class teachers can do that. And just concerned brethren. But we're more likely to be faithful to God when we're older if we start with our youth. So that's a good thought there. Number three, Janice, what has the Lord done for the psalmist from his birth? Right. So there's another psalm that says that God forms us in the womb, Psalm 139. And then this mentions that God upholds us from the womb. So he's not going to just allow us to, you know, flounder there on our own through life. He's going to help us. And that's an encouragement. Notice in verse 3, I wanted to mention this, the word continually. Notice that theme. Do we continually serve the Lord, or are we hit and miss, on and off, hot and cold, sometimes do it, sometimes don't do it? Look at verse 3. Be to me a rock of habitation whereunto I may continually resort all the time, not just, you know, when it serves our own purpose. Look at verse 6. My praise shall be continually of thee, not just in good times, but is he praising God and there's bad things going on right now? Yes. He's being hurt. These people are saying to him, your God has forsaken you, and he's still praising God. So we don't just praise God when things are good. We also do it when things are not so good. And then look at verse 14. But I will hope continually. Just to underscore that, that's very important. We don't want to be someone who's just hot and cold with the Lord. We want to be continually serving him. Okay. Claudette, what do others think about the psalmist? Right. And that word actually is used a lot of places in the Old Testament to mean a miraculous wonder, like Moses and the 10 plagues. But I think if you look at the immediate context here, I think this is being used in a negative sense, that people are wondering at him or astonished at him, like people walking by seeing Job and the situation that he was in, because of the last part of the verse. I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. The contrast there is that people are astonished at me as I'm going through this hurt, but I'm going to turn to you, God, for help. What promise does the psalmist make, Larry? In verse 8. Right. And this really runs all throughout the psalm. Even during bad times, he's going to praise God. He's not going to say anything negative about God. He's not going to complain. He's not going to blame God. And that's what happens with so many people. So that's another good lesson for us as well. And especially in old age where it's tempting to be, you know, bitter and complaining and that type of thing. This really is, I believe, a very encouraging psalm, a good example for all of us. Matthew number 6, what request does the psalmist have for the Lord concerning his old age? Okay. And so he has obeyed the Lord all the way up in his old age, and he wants God to continue to be faithful to him in old age. Okay, number 7, Manny, what do the enemies say concerning the psalmist and his God? Right. God has forsaken him. Turn with me to Psalm 3 and verse 3. This is a tactic of people out in the world. God's not going to help you anymore. God's not going to take care of you. It's a kind of persecution. That should be Psalm 3, verse 2, if you want to change that in your notes. Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. So people will say things like, you can't trust your God, he's not going to be there to help you, and that's a tactic of people out in the world. But we have to keep being faithful. This is Rabshakeh, this is his basic approach. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 37. Rabshakeh comes up with the Assyrian army against Hezekiah and those in Jerusalem, and he basically says, Hezekiah can't help you. Your God can't help you. You might as well just give in. Isaiah 37, verse 10. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't trust your God. He's not going to be able to help you. And so we find that in the Bible. We find that today people say bad things about God. They try to get us to doubt that we should have faith and trust in God. If there was a God, He would show up. If there was a God, He wouldn't allow you to be persecuted, all that kind of thing. And that's very common in the world today. But we're not going to allow those kind of statements to deter us. Which brings us to the next thought here about what He wants for His enemies. Number 8, David, what request does the psalmist have for God? Right. When people attack us like this, we just need to turn to God and ask for help. And then what desire or curse does the psalmist have for his enemies, Pat?
That they put to shame.
Right. This is the only imprecatory or curse portion of the psalm. There's just one verse here. We've seen other psalms where there's several verses. You know, let them have this happen to them and let them have that happen to them. But when we're being persecuted, we just need to turn to God for help and then pray that they would be punished by God. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Notice the very last part of the psalm. For they are put to shame, for they are confounded that seek my hurt. And so he comes back to that at the end. He wants God to take care of that. He's not going to engage in any kind of personal revenge. Okay, number 10. Eric, we're back over to you. What promise does the psalmist make concerning God?
He's going to hope continually. He's going to praise God, get more and more. He will tell of their righteousness, his righteousness, and salvation all the day. I will go in the strength of the Lord God and make mention of your righteousness, of yours only.
Okay. Here is another very big statement of this older man. He is not just going to keep quiet in his old age and kind of just ride it out, you know, like in retirement. He is going to talk with as many people as he can about God and His Word. And we need to be thinking about that. Telling other people, and especially verse 18, the next generation. You can do that in the local church. You can do that with people at work. School, other places. They're not getting it in many ways. We need to give it to them. If we don't pass it along, who will? If we don't pass it along, who will? And yes, it is challenging sometimes to open our mouth and tell about God's Word, but we need to do that very thing. And He promises that He's going to pass that along. And whatever way we can do that, we need to be doing it. It could be publicly, in teaching, it could be privately, it could be in a number of ways, but we need to do something. We don't need to take all of that knowledge that we have acquired in life and just do nothing with it. All of that experience that we've had with God through life and just do nothing with it right at the end. And I appreciate those who are, you know, older and they've continued to do that all the way up until, you know, their dying breath. And I appreciate that about my father and others. They have not spent their last days just sitting around doing nothing. And it is a great example for us. So he is promising to tell others, do not forsake me, verse 18, until I have declared thy strength unto the next generation. So whether it's our children, our grandchildren, whether it's other people, it doesn't have to be young people. It could be anybody younger than us or our own generation. Pass it along. We've only got one life to live. Make it count. And even if they don't want to hear it, pass it along. A lot of people don't want to hear it, but we need to tell them. It's for their own good. So it's a very encouraging psalm with that regard. There's a tendency just to sort of retire, to coast, to I put my time in, now it's time for somebody. There's that type of temptations going on. We can't do that. we have to stay busy even in our old age. Are we going to have physical limitations? Yes. We might not be able to do some things like we used to be able to do, but we can still use our mouth to talk with others about God and His Word. And we might have to skip a generation. Sometimes our own children aren't doing it, so we have to go straight to the grandkids to do it. And I'm seeing this a lot in the last couple of gospel meetings that I had. There were grandparents who were bringing the grandchildren. The kids are nowhere to be found, but the grandparents are bringing the grandchildren to services. The middle-aged kids have, for some reason, you know, quit the Lord and don't want to have anything to do with Him. But the grandparents know better, and they want those little children to be raised on God, so they're the ones bringing them to church services. So whatever it is, we've got to do what we can to help out the next generation. Okay. Mike, what has God done for the psalmist from his youth?
He has taught
me. Yes. And that's, it goes back to verse 5. We're going to have more success in our older age if we will be taught God's word from our youth. That's why it's important to do that early on. Janice, number 12, what does the psalmist want to do concerning his generation?
He wants to declare God's strength and God's power.
Right. And I mentioned in the notes, consider the attitude and demeanor of this older, mature person. There is no grumbling or complaining here. There's no bitterness or jealousy here. There's only continued trust, praise, and hope. There's the promise to tell others of God's truths. And so we need to be like that. It's a great person to model. I think about the Apostle Paul. He describes himself as the aged in the book of Philemon. We need to be like Paul. When we get older, you know, we need to be like the psalmist here. We need to be like Paul. What are high and great? Claudette? Right. And these are some of the things that the psalmist wants to tell others. Number 14, Larry, what does the psalmist believe God will do for him? Right. This probably has to do with the persecution that he's undergoing, verses 7 through 13. And God will raise him up again from that. Some think that it might also be a kind of a veiled description of the resurrection, which is possible too, but he would definitely be quickened from these troubles in an immediate sense. And number 15, Mandy, what request does the psalmist have for God? Right. So the greatness here, this is not the psalmist, you know, appealing to his vanity and pride. But he wants his honor restored before he became persecuted. And he wants to be comforted. Matthew, number 16, what promises does the psalmist make? Right, so just several promises there to praise God, including his lips. And of course, keep in mind that we're under the old law. This is the psalmist under the old law, where instrumental music was authorized in the time of David. So that's why the psaltery is mentioned there and so forth, and the harp. This is a time when those were used under the New Testament, New Covenant, singing only is what is authorized. But during the Old Testament time, in the time of David, we have instrumental music as well. And what does the psalmist speak of? Why does the psalmist speak of God's righteousness all the day? David?
He's been delivered from the wicked, and they've been confounded and brought to shame. Prayers and answers.
Right. So God answers prayers, and he helped the psalmist, and so because of that, he's going to talk of God's righteousness all the day long. Wouldn't that be a great way to spend your old age? Talking about God all day long? That'd be a great thing, wouldn't it? So it's a great example for us. Let's look at a few applications for us. And I focused on the applications. There's a lot of great things in here, but I focused on things that dealt with youth and old age. It is important to trust God from our youth up. Pat, how soon can one become evil? Right, so we need to start early. And we talk about juvenile delinquency, and we're filling up our, you know, that down on the northwest side of Nashville, down there on Briley, you've got that big old facility with a fence around it for the, you know, the juvenile delinquents in the metro area. And it's just our prisons are filling up. We got to build bigger ones. Our jails are filling up. We got to build bigger ones. And not always, but sometimes a lot of that just starts in a person's youth rather than being raised on God and his word and worship services and things like that. They get off on the wrong track and it becomes a problem. When did David trust in the Lord and fight Goliath? Eric? Yeah, when he was a youth. And that story is not just about fighting Goliath. If you look at that, he talks about his trust in God and how that God delivered him from the bear and the lion. So it's not just about a young boy who had some really good skill with a slingshot. You know, it's about a young boy who trusted in God, and he mentions it. So we're talking about a faithful young person. That's the story. That's what's behind the, you know, the battle. Who is to be remembered in one's youth, Mike?
Your Creator.
Yes, and that will keep us on track. In the verse right before it, a couple of verses right before it, talk about how that God's going to bring us into Judgment Day. So our young people need to remember that. That would serve them well. What kind of a man was Ezekiel? Janice? Yeah, that'd be a great thing to say, right? For all of our young people. What are young Christians to be and to flee? Claudette? What are they to flee? That would be the next. Right. So be a good example. Be a good example and run away from youthful lusts. So if we're spending our time trusting God, learning from God, verse 17, you have taught me from my youth, then we're not going to have time for these other things. Larry, there is no time in life from birth to old age that God will not help us and care for us. What did God do for Israel, and for how long did he do it? Right. He provided for them. He cared for them. He bore them along. And we just had a study of Isaiah. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel that have been born by me from their birth, that have been carried from the womb and even to old age. I am he. And even to the hoary hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Yea, I will carry and will deliver. So God's not gonna forsake us. From the moment you're born until the day you die, he will not forsake you. If you trust in him, you serve him, he's always gonna be, there's not one day where he's not there. And that's a very encouraging thing. Okay, Mandy, it is important to continually serve God and not leave him when we get older. So that word continually used in verse 3, 9, and 14. 3, 6, and 14. The word continually. Okay. What happened to Solomon when he got old?
Twice turned away from his heart and other gods, and his heart was not heard.
Right. And we could talk about all the whys and wherefores on that. Maybe you just give up. Maybe you get tired of being faithful. Maybe you're just weak mentally and you just don't want to take a stand for truth. There's a number of reasons why that might happen, but he just gave up. And the text made it clear that when he was old. So we got to be very careful about that. Don't throw it all away in our old age. What do the righteous do in their old age, Matthew? Right. How did Elizabeth live in her old age, David?
Righteously, blameless.
Yeah, she's in the temple. She's serving. She's blameless. She's righteous. And she prays. And she's going to have a child in her old age. She and her husband are serving the Lord in the temple. And it's a great example. It's not someone who just gives up and quits. What did Paul do in his old age, Pat? Right, so he finished the race all the way to the end. He didn't just quit right there toward the end. It is important to be taught God's word from our youth. Eric, what are parents to do? Okay, Mike?
Discipline their children.
Right, train up a child in the way that he should go. So train them early. That's our responsibility. What are fathers to do, Janice? Right? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. When did Timothy learn the scriptures, Claudette? Right. There are some people that don't have that, and they learn it later in life, and they have to make changes. But if we can, as much as possible, get our children to learn those from a babe. The cell phone, the tablet, the internet, the computer, the TV, that is not as important as learning the Word of God. It's not wrong to have those other things, but God's Word should be a priority over those things. And, you know, we're just like anybody else. Carlin's got a tablet, okay? He doesn't have a cell phone. But, you know, they want to get on their electronics, and that's fine. There's a place for that. But we always try to tell him, you know, limit that and put more emphasis on spiritual things. Larry, it is important for older righteous ones to pass on God's truths to the next generation around them and to future generations. We should become stronger in prayer, praise, and proclamation as we get older. What usually comes with old age?
Well, it's supposed to be wisdom and understanding.
Right, and that's why I put usually. That is a general principle mentioned there. Some people don't have it. But we're supposed to have wisdom and understanding. Well, what are we going to do with that? We need to pass it along to others. We don't keep it to ourselves. We've got to help others with that. How are aged men and women to act, and what are they to do? Mandy? Right. You look at those passages there. Older men and older women are supposed to be good examples to the next generation around them. That people look to us. And so you've got the older men and several qualities there, then the older women, and then they're to teach. So be a good example to others in your behavior and then teach others God's word. Thank you. We will sing for just a little bit this evening. And we're going to look at the first few verses of Psalm 71. But let's remember this psalm. Let's go back and read it and then ask ourselves, am I doing these things that this older man is doing? Am I trusting in God, praising God? Am I telling others of His word? You know, no bitterness, no complaints, no, you know, problems and that type of thing. Let's sing the wording of the first eight verses of Psalm 71. And this is to the tune of The Lord's My Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all sing.
In thee, O Lord, I refuge take. Ashamed, let me not be. O save me in thy righteousness. Give ear and rescue me. Be thou my rock, my dwelling place, my constant safe resort, thou my salvation hast ordained. Thou art my rock and fort. Free me, my God, from wicked hands, hands cruel and unjust. Thou, Lord Jehovah, art my hope. From you thou art my trust. For I have been sustained by thee through birth and early days, brought from my mother's womb by thee. I'll give thee constant praise. Too many I a wonder am. Thou art my refuge strong. My mouth is brimming with thy praise.